Okay, we're going to begin with in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, Parak Yud Zayin, and this is the last chapter, not of Kiddush HaKodesh. There's a couple more after this, but this is the last chapter that involves calculations. Unfortunately, it's not that the calculations in this parak are difficult. It's more that the Rambam doesn't actually explain the reasons why these calculations are necessary. He just says adjustments have to be made. So it's up to us. We have to know ahead of time what's bothering the Rambam and why these adjustments have to be made. So in all the equations we've done up to this period of time, all the calculations the Rambam has done, has all been about trying to ascertain when you'll be able to see the moon in the sky. Okay, again, that's what he wants. He wants the Amiti Re'iyah. He wants that location of the sun in the sky, excuse me, of the moon in the sky, in order to help out with Kiddush HaKodesh. Remember, that's the whole goal of this entire section. Now, the problem is that with everything he's done everything, the best way to put it is he's done everything in like a perfect format, meaning like as if, for example, if the moon never set or if someone was standing in the center of Earth. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, that's just not the case. For example, one issue that's going to come up is that the calculations he worked out before would work if someone were standing in the center, let's say at the equator, all right? It doesn't work for someone standing in Yerushalayim. And remember, we need to go ahead and work out Kiddush HaKodesh from people seeing the moon in Eretz Yisrael. So what the Rambam's going to have to do later on in the Perek is to make adjustments in his calculations to take into account the fact that the longitude and latitude of the position of the person, of the observer seeing the moon in Yerushalayim is different than someone standing at the center of Earth. That's one example. Another issue that comes up is going to be, well, we're trying to find out, remember, we want to see the moon at its earliest point after the Molad, and that's going to be when it's a crescent. So one thing they have to figure out is how large the crescent would be to make it visible enough. Another thing you got to figure out is when is it dark enough in the sky that it could see the crescent on the moon. These are other modifications he has to take into account in order to to make the numbers work and to predict when to see the moon. And we look at over here at this picture. This is an example of what he has to take into account. Just as an example, the issue is the setting time of the moon. In other words, there's a certain period of time that the moon's going to be visible before it, so to speak, sets. And as the Rambam explains here, as an example, if we recall that the moon on its orbit, remember, it's pivoted slightly, and there's the, as you saw in the last parak, the Rosh and Zonav, and then there's the Rochav Dromi and Rochav Tzvoni. There's the northern inclination and southern inclination. So we know that as a result of that inclination, the time, so to speak, or the opportunity to see the sun changes dramatically. So, for instance, in the top right over here, he says during the Tkufas Tishrei, during that period of time, okay, during that time of what do you call it, of equinox, okay. So this, if the sun is in the, excuse me, if the moon is in the southern inclination, then Shkia Ktsarim Od, then it's going to be a very quick period of time that we have to be able to see the moon. Whereas over here, on the bottom left by Tekufas Nisan, the setting time is much, much longer. There's a much longer period of time that a person will be able to see the moon. The ones, those he doesn't have to calculate. As he'll show you pretty quickly, he'll say there's nothing to calculate because if it's around for a long period of time, you're fine. If it's short, you won't be able to see it. Whereas here, the ones are in the middle, in these two situations here, for instance, where it's Tkufas Tishrei, but the moon is in the northern inclination. So then there's an average time of sunset, and that's going to require some type of more specific calculation of where exactly the moon's going to be. This picture also represents the other issue the Rambam's struggling with, which is that there's the observer and there's Merkaz Kadu Aretz. Merkaz Kadu Aretz was the, all the calculations he was working out were based on someone being, so to speak, right here. But that's not where people are. We're supposed to be doing it from Eretz Yisrael. So because we're trying to do it from Eretz Yisrael, that's going to cause also a distortion and a requirement to adjust the numbers to compensate for that. So in this parak, and just to give you kind of a brief peek at how crazy things get, if you look at this set of calculations over here, this is a set of calculations starting from the top, going through all the things you've learned up to date, but then adding in where it says right over here, Orach Rishon. Everything up to Orach Rishon, we know how to do already. Orach Rishon is the initial adjustment, longitudinal adjustment necessary to compensate for one of these issues. Same with Orach Sheni. So there are these various longitudinal adjustments that are made in sighting the moon that are required to know exactly where the moon will be and what time I can see the moon, so to be as precise as possible in predicting the Zman Re'iyah and therefore doing Kiddush HaChodesh. So that's what the 17th parak is going to deal with. It's not that long of a parak. We'll see if we get through all of it today. But the main thing is these are the various calculations he's talking about. Now, again, he doesn't spell this stuff out, but this is, in understanding the Aristotelian physics behind it, this is basically why the Rambam has to make these adjustments. Okay. Parak Zayin, Halacha Aleph, he says, Kol dvarim shehigdamnu kedei shiyu atidim muchanim l'diyas ha'ra'iyah. So everything we've explained up to this point in time is there so that we can predict and know when the moon will be sighted in the sky. And when you actually want to know this, Taskla v'takshov, v'totzi makam. So recall, you have to take into account the mean position of the excuse me, the true position of the sun, the true position of the moon, as well as what do you call it, the place of the, remember the Rosh also moved. So one of the convergence points of the moon at the time of seeing it, v'tigra makom hashemesh amiti, v'makom ha'reach amiti, and you subtract the true position of the sun from the true position of the moon, v'anishra hu nikra orach rishon. So what you're left with is what's called, literally means the first longitude. Orach rishon is the first longitude. This is going to be the first adjustment he makes. So lacha beis, he says, u'macha sheteda makom harosh u'makom ha'reach. Now once you know the position of the rosh and the position of the moon itself, Teda rocha vayreach kamahu. You'll now be able to determine the latitude of the moon itself. Vimu rocha tsoni or drome, right? If it's in the northern or southern inclination, all right? Vehu anikra rocha rishon, that's considered the first latitude, okay? That's vihizar b'orachazeh harishon of rocha rishon v'yushneh muchan l'fanecha. So it's funny how he says, be very careful in how you work out these calculations. Certainly when it comes to the first latitude and the first longitude of the moon, meaning have those calculations with you as we move forward. So he says, for example, Halacha Gimel, the Hizbonin Ba'orech Zeh Rishon, okay, and work out for yourself the first longitude. Im Yetzeh Lecha Teisha Malos B'Shava Pachos. So again, he didn't tell us how to work it out, by the way. I mean, he expects us to know. But anyway, if it comes out to 9 degrees, give or take, okay, or actually 9 or less, Teda bevadai she efshal olam she yira hirech bo salela b'chol eretz Yisrael. Ve'natat tzarech hashman acher. Right. So if that number, if the first longitude, if the orech rishon comes out to 9 degrees or less, okay, that means that you're not going to be able to see the moon that night. I mean, it won't be around long enough to be able to see. So there's no other calculation required. You know, that night is not a night to see the moon. Vimya Orach Rishon Yesra Chamishre Malos, but if the Orach Rishon is more than 15 degrees, Teda Bevadai Shireach Yireh B'chol Eretz Yisrael. Venatat Tzarech L'Cheshbon Acher. That was that first picture I showed you. If the Orach Rishon is more than 15 degrees, then you know for sure the moon will be visible to basically everyone. In other words, it's going to be clear to be able. It's going to be very easy to go ahead and find the moon. So those two extremes. If it's 9 degrees or less, 15 degrees or more in your calculations, the moon will either be not visible or very visible, so to speak. Vimya orech harishon miteisha malos v'ad chameshesre. But if it's between 9 and 15, titzarech lidrosh v'lachor b'cheshbona sariyah. Then you have to start working out all these extra calculations. Ad sheteda imyira olo yira. Okay, so again, if in your calculations the position of the moon will be located between 9 and 15 degrees, again looking at that picture I showed you before. That's the indicator that now you must work out further calculations to determine within that spectrum where and if the moon will be visible. So he says, now remember, if you recall the constellations, right? Okay. When the sun's orbit went, like, let's say in a flat circle, okay, so to speak, and we use the constellations as a circle, so to speak, or a galgal outside the sun, and the sun kind of travels through the constellations, okay? But remember, when you're looking from Yerushalayim, as an example, so the constellations don't appear, so to speak, flat on the horizon. They're not going parallel to the horizon. Rather, the constellations appear on an angle, just like the orbit of the sun appears on an angle, and the moon appears also on an angle. So too, the constellations also, from the perspective of an Eretz Yisrael, if you looked up at the sky, you wouldn't see the constellations going around like this. Rather, you would see it more like this, okay? Kind of like a northeast-southeast kind of thing. So as a result of that, the Rambam has to compensate for that. So that's why he's going to describe the position, the viewing the moon in the constellations. So he says, for example, he says, "B'medvar Amorim b'shaya makom yireach amiti mitchilas mazal gedi at sof mazal to omen." So the example he gives is, as long as, in other words, this is only a situation where the true position of the moon, meaning where I see it, is located from the beginning of the constellation of Capricorn until Gemini. But if it comes out in the beginning of Cancer all the way to Sagittarius, via Orach Harishon Eser Malos B'Shava Pachos, and the first longitude comes out to 10 degrees or less, Teidash Eina Yerech Nira Klal B'Osa Lel B'Chol Arts Yisrael, then because of its position in those constellations, we know for sure the moon will not be visible. V'imaya Orach Harishon Yesal Arbav Eser Malos, and if the Orach Harishon comes out to more than 24 degrees, Vada Yerech B'Chol Gvul Arts Yisrael, right? You'll know it's going to be visible in all Arts Yisrael. Notice the adjustment in degrees. We went from 9:15, right? 9 being smallest, 15 obviously largest, to now we're going from 10 to 24. Why that increase? Because depending on which constellation the moon is in, will determine to some extent its rochav tzvoni or dromi, meaning that southern northern inclination plays a role. This is vada yer b'chol kvul Yisrael. V'imya orach harishon me'eser malos ad arba v'esrim tistarach lidrosh v'lachar b'cheshmonas ra'iya ad sheteida imira o lo yira. So if it's located in these constellations and its position, your calculations come out to somewhere between 10 and 24 degrees, then we're going to go ahead and have to start working out the specific calculations. And again, the reason why is if the moon is located in its rochav dromi, in its southern position, so then it will set earlier. And if it's in its northern position, it won't. It'll be longer. So taking these things into account, based on where it's located in the constellations, will help you determine where the moon's going to be located. So now in Halacha Hey, he's going to work this stuff out. Okay, ve'elu hein hashbonos re'iyah. So these are these further calculations that you need to do to work this stuff out. He's bonin ure'ei hayirech beiz mazal hu. So first is figure out which constellation is the moon going to be located in. Im yihav mazal tala. So if it's going to be in Aries, tigra mina orech harishon tisha v'chamisha v'chamishim chalakim. So you're going to subtract from the first longitude 59 chalakim. Okay, v'imayav mazal shor tigra min orech malachas. And if it's in the mazal of Taurus, then you take out 1 degree. So again, he doesn't tell you how he came up with these calculations. If you'd like to know, let me know later on. But the Rambam's telling you this is what will come out. Then you have a mazal to omim. If it's in Gemini, tigram in orach shmoneh v'chamishim chalakim, then subtract out from it 58 chalakim. Then you have a mazal sartan. If it's in Cancer, tigram in orach shnayim v'chamishim chalakim. Then you have a mazal aryeh. If it's in Leo, tigram in orach shlosha v'arbaim chalakim. Notice again, it's getting less and less. Then you have a mazal basula, tigram in orach shiva v'shloshim chalakim. Okay, that's 37 chalakim. Vim mazal moznaim tigra min orech arba shloshim chalakim. Now we're going back up again. Vim yev mazal akra of tigra min orech arba ushloshim chalakim. Vim mazal keshes tigra min orech shisha shloshim chalakim. Vim yev mazal gedi tigra min orech arba v'arbaim chalakim. Vim yev mazal deli. Now again, the reason why these numbers fluctuate back and forth and aren't consistently going up and down is because since the constellations go like this, rather than being, so to speak, surrounding you, like on the horizon, they go on that angle. The position of the constellation will be adjusted accordingly. So it finally says, "V'imim mazal dagim tigram in orech shmona v'chamishim chalakim v'nishrim in orech achash tigram menu elo chalakim hu anikra orech sheni." So now, once you do this information, okay, you're left now with what's called your second longitude. All right, so all the stuff that he's done up to that point brings you to the second longitude information, and that was that big calculation I showed you before. To get to this point. So first I have my first adjustment, which is the Orech Rishon. And then I use this to get to the Orech Sheni. This uses the position of the moon in its subsequent constellation to then determine the Orech Sheni. So this is the second longitude is my second adjustment that I'm making. And the Rambam tries to explain it. He says, Halacha v'avolama gorin chalakam elu. Why do we do the subtraction? What leads us to the Orech Sheni? Because he says the true position of the moon is not actually where you'll see the moon in the sky. Okay? In other words, that true position does not line up to where I'll be able to see the moon. Okay? Rather, there's always going to be a tiny difference in the longitude and latitude. So therefore, and he's saying this because of Eretz Yisrael. So this is called this the necessity of the Orach Rishon and Orach Sheni is because of this idea, Shinui Hamara, which is the adjustment to the the adjustment to the sighting of the moon. The Shinui Mara Haorech B'Shas or Iel LaOlam Gornosom in Orach Moshe B'Yarnu. And this Shinui, the Shinui Mara, right, is of the longitude, right, that we're going to be that he's working out. You always subtract it from the previous longitude from the Orach Rishon, as he just explained previously in the Halacha. Halacha Zion, Aval Shinui Mara Harochav, right? But when it comes to the latitude, okay, this is that's dealing with the longitude. When it comes to the latitude adjustment, Im Haya Rochav Hayarech Tzvoni. Now, if the moon is on a northerly inclination, Goren Chalakim Shel Shinui Mara Harochav Mina Rochav Rishon. Then we would subtract the Shinui Mara of the latitude from the first latitude we worked out previously. But if we go ahead and if the moon is going to be on a southerly inclination, then we're going to add chalakim. We're going to add those minutes to the shinui mara harochav of the latitude on the original latitude calculation. So that's because going back to what was we understood before, when it's on the northern inclination, it's going to take longer to set, and on the southern one, it's a shorter time to set. So whatever you left over with in these calculations, that's going to be called the second latitude. So notice we have our Orach Rishon, Orach Sheni, first and second longitudes, which are that plane of adjustment. And then we have Rochav Rishon and Rochav Sheni, which are our latitude adjustments necessary for being able to see the moon in a precise way. Okay, halacha ches v'kama heim achalakim shemosifin agornosan. So now, of course, the Rambam is going to tell us how many chalakim you add or subtract. Again, using the position of the constellations and knowing the inclination of the moon. Im ya yireach mazal tala tisha chalakim. So if it's located in Aries, 9 chalakim. V'im yev mazal shor asar chalakim. If it's in Taurus, it's 10 chalakim. V'im mazal tomim shisha asar chalakim. V'im yev mazal sartan shiva v'eshim chalakim. V'im yev mazal aryeh shmono shloshim chalakim. Okay, so they're up to 38. V'im yev mazal basula arbav arbaim chalakim. V'im yev mazal moznaim shisha arbaim chalakim. So we keep going up. Now, v'im yev mazal akrav. Okay, now we're at Scorpio. Chamisha arbaim chalakim. Now we get to 54 chalakim. V'im yev mazal keshes arbav arbaim chalakim. V'im yev mazal gadi shisha shloshim chalakim. V'im mazal dali shiva v'eshim chalakim, and finally v'im yev mazal dagim for ending off in Pisces, you add 12 chalakim, 12 chalakim to that number. Finally, lachatas u'ma'acha shateda chalakim elu. Once you know these minutes, tigra osa min arochav rishon, subtract them from the first latitude. O tosif osan alav, or you have to add them to it. Kemosha hodanucha v'itzilacha arochav asheni, and that's how you're going to get the second latitude. Ukvaryadata imhut svoni odromi, and you already know whether the moon is in the northern or the southern inclination. Viteda kama malos vakama chalakim nasa zer rochav asheni v'tachen oso lefanecha v'yeh asin. Okay, and you already know whether it's going to be north or south. You know the number of degrees and the minutes, and have this figure in your notebook for the next step. Okay, so all these after you work out your orach rishon, orach sheni, rochav rishon, rochav sheni, and that's after all the shemesh amiti, Yareach Hamiti, and Rosh calculations. Once you have all that mathematics and that's down in your notebook, now you can go on to Halacha Yud, okay, which gets to our next adjustment, okay? And this is going to deal with the idea of the time. There's a time between, a certain period of time that exists between the setting of the sun and the setting of the moon. So now we're going to have to go ahead and work that out, which is going to get into what's called the Or Shlishi, which is going to deal with, another way to put it is, how seeing the moon at the actual horizon and how far from the horizon the moon's going to end up being. So that's another modification of the calculation. So Lach Yudi says, now you set aside, you're going to set aside that Rochav Sheni, you're going to take away a little from it. Why? Because the moon fluctuates ever so slightly in its own orbit. So based on that fluctuation that happens in its orbit, how much, therefore, do we have to separate out or subtract out? Okay, so if
the moon is located between, between the mazel of Tala from Aries until the mazel of Moznayim, okay, but if it's with from 10 to 20, Tikach min arochav asheni shnei chamishav. Okay, so you're going to take 2/5 away
of the second latitude. So if it's in that location between those two mazalos, then you would subtract out from your rochav sheni, from your second latitude, 2/5. We're talking about very small numbers now. Vimiyar reach me'esrim imazal talad, esrim malos imazal shor, o me'esrim imazal mosnayim at esrim malos imazal akrav, tikach min arochav hasheni shlishisto. This would be 2/3, okay? Excuse me. Yeah, 2/3, sorry, 1/3 from the rochav. Yeah. Vimiyar reach me'esrim malos imazal shor at esrim imenu, o me'esrim malos imazal akrav at esrim imenu, tikach min arochav hasheni rivioso. So that's going to come out to 1/4. Now you're going to subtract, you can take off 1/5. Again, we're talking about a very small amount here. That's 1/6 from the second latitude. If it's from these mazalos, you would take off from the second latitude, chatzi shesuso, which is 1/12, I think. So that's 1/24. If you get to that point, you don't take off anything. Why? Lefi she'ein kan lizas magal. Because at that time, at that time, we say the moon is no longer fluctuating in its orbit. Now, back to the adjustments. Vimei reach mechamesh mimazal sartan ad eser menu, or mechamesh mazal gadi ad eser mimenu, tikach min arochav hasheni, revia shesuso. We're back to taking 1/24th, and obviously, the number's going to go up now. Vimei amakom reach meeser mimazal sartan ad eser mimenu, or meeser mimazal gadi ad eser mimenu, tikach min arochav hasheni, chatzi shesuso. That's going to be 1/12th. So that's a 6th. Now up to a 4th. So this amount, okay, this amount that we subtract from the second latitude point, that's called the magal, literally means like the circle or the circling of the moon. That's what this amount is called, and it's trying to compensate for that slight fluctuation in the orbit of the moon. Okay, just do one more. Now go back now to the latitude of the moon. And look again to see if it is on a northerly or southerly inclination. So if it's in that northern inclination, Tigra Maga Hayreach Azemin Orach Hasheni. Then you have to subtract the number of the Magal Yireach from the second longitude. Now we're back into longitude now. But if it's in the southern inclination, we add the Magal to the second point of longitude. It's only if it's going from the constellation of Capricorn to Gemini. Those are the later ones. You have to reverse it. Because if the moon's on the northern inclination, tosif a magal or a chasheni, then you would add the magal onto the second longitude. And if the moon is on the southern inclination, then you would subtract the magal from the second longitude. Whatever is left, here it comes, after the orach sheni now, that you've added to subtracted to that. So again, we've used our magal to adjust the orach sheni. That number comes out to called huanikra orach shlishi. That's the third longitude, our fourth adjustment in calculations. V'dash im lo yesham nelizas magal lo nosan echash melakachas min rochav sheni klum. Right, and if we didn't do this, okay, if this was never done, if there's no fluctuation at all and there's no number to separate, okay, ye orach hasheni atzmo hu orach shlishi lo pachas lo yeser. So if in those previous calculations there were a couple points where there was no fluctuation in the moon, if we're at a point where there's no fluctuation in the moon, there's no need to have an orach shlishi, because the orach shlishi and orach sheni are even with each other.
Okay, we'll stop.